This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
Big reason why we were able to get this far. Just, you know, the way they conduct their business, their professionalism, how they approach training. Just everything you need to be a good pro. And they're doing their best to pass it on to the young guys and pay it forward. And, you know, hopefully the next generation of Bruins are their equals in that department.
No one lives forever. No one.
But with advances in modern science, my high level of income, I mean, it's not crazy to think I can't live to be 245, maybe 300.
Well, there wasn't much to say. There's nothing I can really say in this moment, I believe, other than I was proud of them. They should walk out of here with their heads up. That's it. There's no long speech. There just isn't.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Maybe next year there'll be more fun. I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to Kyrie leaving.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that team that I'm going to see next year on the court. Fun, effective, harmonious. I want to see all those things because I got so tired of this team. This team sucked this year. I hated watching them. I hated listening to them.
I'm not like my old man. I'm a kind and gentle, compassionate human being with a heart as big as a lion. We'll see you later, Juice Box. Everyone wave goodbye to Juice Box. Literally wave. Do it. Here's two.
But things started to really change this year. Now, obviously, because certain things happen, you know, Gordon Hayward comes back, but he's not quite the same player, not close to being the same player. The younger guys maybe take a step back or two or think they deserve a bigger part of what's going on.
With Gordon Hayward, that'll be that. Look out next year when the Capitals back. Danny's the man at the balancing act. We'll still be below the salary cap. Come on.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
Welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI, Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen in Providence. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my friend.
Tough week for the Boston Bruins. It ended poorly, to say the least. Game 7 was absolutely awful. No fun, zero fun. Sir, I thought it was going to be a fun night, but no, it was pretty much bad from the start. There were a few chances the Bruins had early in that game. They should have, could have taken the lead, didn't. And they ended up getting blown out at home in Game 7. You want to know an interesting stat that jumped out at me?
Sure.
Okay. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final. Home teams in both series are combined 3-10.
Yeah.
What was that?
Remember when I was telling you how home doesn't matter all that much anymore?
I guess not.
Home court, home ice.
I mean, I knew in hockey it wasn't that big a deal, but in basketball, too.
It shouldn't be a big deal in basketball.
Unbelievable. Okay. So we're going to start with the Bruins, and I'm going to start with a question. I have a question for you.
Hit me with it.
Now, I have my own opinion here that I'm going to present in a moment, but I want to ask you what my opinion should be first.
Okay.
You know how I feel, or I guess I should say you know how I felt about Tuukka Rask in the past. I've been hard on him.
Yeah.
You know that I've come around, and I've admitted that during this run, he proved me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, he did not win a Stanley Cup,
mm-mm,
and he was average at best in Game 7. So I'm asking you, how should I feel about Tuukka Rask? Should I have come around at all, or should I have the same feelings that I've had for a long time?
No, you should have come around, because he was excellent. He was their best player throughout the entirety of the playoffs. And it's really not even close. He absolutely was their best player. They don't get there without him. And no one else performed. It wasn't his fault. Yeah, he wasn't very good in Game 7, but a lot of that has to do with what was going on in front of him. But he was very good along the way. He was very good along the way. He is not your problem. He is not the reason you lost the Stanley Cup final. He's just not. So you should, I would say you should turn the corner on him, but there is still a question. There still is a question out there.
What's the question?
The question is he worth the money? That's the real question. Whether you love him or hate him, you should recognize that he's talented. Now, the real question is he worth all that money? Could you use that money more effectively in other parts of the team to strengthen maybe the defense in front of the goaltender? That's the real question. It's not whether or not he's good or not anymore. I think you've turned the corner on that. You know he's a good goalkeeper, a goaltender. You know he can do enough to get you there. And he did enough to win you the cup. He just didn't have a good game seven, but he did enough along the way.
And I want to reiterate or make the point that he was not awful in game seven. I mean, when you compare it to how he had played, he wasn't very good, but it wasn't some disaster. The first goal, look, give the Blues credit. It was an excellent tip in front. It went through his legs. Tough, you know, you'd like for that save to be made, but I'm not going to really put that on Rask. It was a great tip. It went through his legs. The one goal that was the killer that I put on Rask is the second goal. When you're playing as well as he had been playing, and it's a 1-0 game, waning seconds of the first period, you got to make that save. That's the save you got to make. And everybody keeps saying the puck went over his shoulder. No, it didn't. It went under his arm. Okay? You got to make that save. Pietrangelo, backhander, under his arm, and 2-0, and that was the game. That is a backbreaker, obviously. When you score that late in the period, you're already down one. That was the game right there. That's the save you've got to make. Again, I agree with you. He is done. He did enough. He had overcome all of the negative thoughts that all the people that had criticized him had, and I think that he proved everybody wrong. But game seven, he wasn't at his best. Those are the facts, and it sucks because it was a great run, and Rask was the best player on the team.
Yeah.
So, yes, he did prove me wrong. I have come around, and I should have come around. I agree. But still, in game seven?
Yeah.
And can I just make one quick, just to really kind of bring the point full circle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about this before. What was the response whenever I talked in the past about moving on from Tuukka Rask, getting rid of Tuukka Rask? Let's get somebody else.
What can you get for?
What can you get? Who are you going to get? Who's going to play goal? How about Jordan Binnington? And I don't mean actually Jordan Binnington.
I know what you mean.
This guy was loaned to Providence, what was it, last year?
Yep.
And all of a sudden he comes in and now he's winning the Stanley Cup. You don't know. Put somebody else in there. Try to find somebody else. You might find them. You might have them. That's why I wanted them to get rid of Tuukka Rask. Now, I was wrong. Rask proved he was capable enough to win. And you know what else, too?
See, here's the thing. You might have actually been right, but for the wrong reasons.
Well, here, you're right. Let me just ask you this, because, and I'm asking myself this out loud on the air, and somebody can answer this for me. You're the one sitting here. I don't understand why I'm coming around right now, honestly. I'm sort of a hypocrite. Didn't Tuukka Rask do basically the same thing in 2013? So why did I have no belief? And why am I coming around now? Like, he proved me wrong. He got to the cup final in 2013. It went six
games.
Because
he wasn't the problem. That's why you're turning around. And you know he was good.
He was a problem in 13. I mean, he gave up those two goals in 17 seconds in game six. But so what? He had a bad game in the clincher for the other team. Same thing this time.
Against a more talented team.
They won
Chicago
multiple
Blackhawks
cups. That's true.
Were a much more talented team.
Yeah, they were arguably a dynasty.
But the fact remains is you look at it and go, in a salary cap sport, can I use his money elsewhere more effectively?
Okay.
$7 million about, right?
Yeah. Can I tell you the problem, though, that the Bruins have? And I'm not really talking about the money right now.
Sure.
The problem, and maybe it was just a bad stretch of games.
Mm-hmm.
You said defense. Sure. You want to upgrade defense? Well, we could upgrade defense.
The biggest problem, we all know what the biggest problem was.
What was the biggest problem?
The top line score.
Exactly.
Top line score. But it's not even close.
Right. So that's the problem, though. Because what are you going to do? Replace the top line guys, Marchand and Bergeron? No, you can't. You're not going to replace them. You need them to produce. They didn't produce. So maybe that isn't a problem because they're still there and you know what they're capable of. But I'm just looking at the Bruins right now, and I don't see a ton of areas where you're like, that is a big-time issue. Defense? I always thought that they could use a scorer, an elite offensive threat. But you hoped Pastrnak was going to be that.
You kind of thought you had that.
Yeah.
I think
Marchand is sort of that. Sort of.
Put up 100 points this year.
Yeah.
You know, he had a very good season. You thought you had that. That was part of the problem. And then one of those guys just completely wilted away. At least with Marchand, you had moments. Granted, there were power play moments, but you had moments. With Pastrnak, you had nothing. You got nothing.
No, it wasn't nothing. I mean, he had a couple games in against the Hurricanes. I mean, he didn't do nothing throughout the course of the playoffs, but not nearly enough for a guy at that stature with what you're expecting out of him. Not nearly enough. Was this a choke? Did the Bruins choke?
No. No, I won't, because I'm willing to admit I didn't know nearly enough about the Blues. I didn't give the Blues nearly enough credit for being a good team. I thought it was kind of a fluky thing that they turned it around as well as they did starting in January.
Well, it was Binnington, a lot of the reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a choke, because I'm, like I said, I had the expectation that the Bruins would win in five. I was clearly way wrong about that. I didn't think the Blues were nearly as talented as they are. They proved that they are. So I don't think it was a choke just because I had a bad prediction. No, I think the Blues are a much better team than most of us gave them credit for. Therefore, it's not really a choke because they ended up losing to a good team. Now, are the Bruins better than them? Sure. And if you want to say that's a choke, okay, I get it. But I don't think the disparity between the two teams is really all that great.
I don't think it was a choke.
Yeah.
If the Bruins are up 3-1 and then they lose the series, that's a choke.
That's a choke.
I don't think it was a choke. I just think they, you know, they let one get away. They didn't get it done. I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't a choke. I think they had an opportunity, a legit opportunity, to win the Stanley Cup. Here's where I think it was. Here's the worst part, I think. Tuukka Rask and how he played. I mean, that's as well as he's going to play.
Mm.
And you can't win the Stanley Cup in that situation? I mean, that's the choking aspect for me, because they played, Rask played as well as he could have, and you didn't capitalize, and you didn't finish the job and win the cup, and he played great, and he would have won the Conn Smythe. That's the killer, because you've proven in the past, you don't know if that's going to be the case all the time in the playoffs in big moments.
Yeah, and on top of that, when you have injuries like that, major injuries, it's hard to say it's a choke. When you're losing players for stretches,
yeah,
or you know one of your better players is now playing at 50%, it's hard. Like the Warriors, they didn't choke.
No.
To the Raptors, they got decimated by injuries. It was terrible. It's not a choke. It's not a choke. You lost.
Yeah.
The Blues were better in that series. They just were.
Give the Blues credit. They surprised. After game one, I did not think that they were capable of winning game two. And it's funny, too, when you think of, and I keep going back to the goalies, but I really think that was the big storyline. In hockey, I think that's really the key to any Stanley Cup run, the goaltender. It's just amazing because I wonder, you know, we have killed Rask before, obviously. You know, it wasn't Rask that was getting pulled out of games in the Stanley Cup, you know, getting up seven goals. It was Binnington, and Binnington is the one that won the series.
Yep.
It's an amazing thing. Rask was so good. And again, in Game 7, I didn't think he was terrible. I wasn't ripping him after Game 7. He wasn't great, but I feel like the Bruins couldn't ask him to do much more after everything he has done for them. They scored one goal in Game 7 at home, and it was a defenseman. You've got to be better than that in Game 7. Now, give Binnington credit. They had chances, but they couldn't finish. I don't care if they had good chances. You got to finish. They couldn't do it. Disappointing. Disappointing end to the run, and you know, I don't know where you go from here. I tend to think that in hockey, you don't really bounce back. You know, I don't expect them to make a real Stanley Cup run next year. It takes a lot out of you to make a run like that. I expect them to make the playoffs, and that's that. I mean, they got lucky this year with some of the teams they didn't have to face. Some of those teams will be back.
Some of the teams they did face weren't very good.
Weren't good, or were good matchups, or whatever you want to say. I think this was their chance. I think this was the year they had to get it done if they wanted to really put a stamp on their legacy.
Yep.
It's already a good legacy. They won a cup, but now they're 1-2 in the Stanley Cup final, and that's not great. Not in this city, not during this stretch of time. So, you know, it's a bummer. But I could not believe Game 7 played out the way it did. I mean, that was the one thing I absolutely, positively was not expecting, that they were not going to show up. And can I just say this? We got to talk about this real quick. The line change that Brad Marchand made was such a beyond a disgrace. I mean, I was embarrassed to be from here for a minute because it was so bad. The worst part about it, and he admitted it after, I give him credit, but the worst part about it was the time left in the period. There was 8 seconds left, 10 seconds left. You've got to know that, and you can't get off the ice. Stupid. stupid. I know he was trying. He was initially trying to go for a change, and then the play came towards him, so that's when he sort of gave the half-assed effort to throw a shoulder into whoever was streaking down the ice. But you've got to know, okay, there's 15 seconds left in the – you're staying
just
out
finish
there.
Finish it out.
You just finish it out.
Just finish it out strong.
Especially when you obviously know that a goal in that situation is intolerable.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot create chaos, you know, friendly chaos by doing a line change there. No, because people on the bench not expecting you to come off the ice with 9 seconds left. Just not expecting it.
Got to give the Blues credit. They ground down the Bruins.
They did.
They just wore them out.
Yeah.
Hit after hit after hit. And you go back and watch Game 7, look at the Bruins. They're looking for them. They're waiting for them. They're trying to duck out of the way. Trying to pull up quickly so they don't have to take that big hit. Blues did a great job. They wore them down. So by the time you get to a Game 7, Bruins had nothing left.
And the thing was, Binnington, even if he wasn't better, he was almost as good. So the Blues were able to overcome, even if Rask was a little bit better, Binnington was right there. And obviously in Game 7, he was insane. Out of this world good in Game 7. So that's what you need to do. And he won the Stanley Cup for that team. They hadn't won it. I mean, everybody's talking about like St. Louis are these lovable losers. The Cardinals have won like how many World Series?
Like 8.
Right. So, and recently too. So let's not go too far here.
You're lovable losers because you keep losing your sports franchises because you suck as a city.
You hate St. Louis.
It's a dump. Mm-hmm. It is a dump. Take Detroit over St. Louis any day of the week.
Wow.
Been to both of them.
Yeah.
I know what it's like there. Take Detroit. At least they were awesome at one point.
So, by the way, I started watching Game of Thrones.
Yes.
First three episodes.
Okay. What did you think at the end of episode one? Season one, episode one.
Well, season one, episode one, number one, you know, I was, because you sort of hyped it up. Well, you're not going to believe what
happens
all,
at the end.
Yeah, I saw it coming, first of all, when he was on the ledge there. And yeah, it was shocking, but that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking it was going to be more shocking, and I'll be honest with you. First three episodes, you know, not the most riveting thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it gets better.
Gets better.
It
That's
gets
what
much
I
better. It does feel a little slow and it plods along little bit.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I did not like it. I'm not enjoying it.
Breaking Bad slow to get in.
Okay,
but you know, there's some really good, interesting scenes there. But it's one of those things when you watch it when you're on season four, and you look back at season one, you're gonna be like, I missed that, but it was right in front of me.
Okay,
you know,
I'm digging the swords and the castles and all that.
Yeah. That stuff's tremendous fun.
I feel like I want to see these White Walkers come into play a little bit.
Yeah, you're going to wait a while.
Okay.
You're going to wait a while.
Okay.
You saw him at the very beginning of episode one.
Yes.
Kind of a badass scene.
Yes.
I think you wait till season three to even see one again.
Okay. Well, we'll see. But I'm not into it.
I'm glad I am here in the passenger side of your journey.
Thank you. Okay, when we get back, I'm going to explain why we should have absolutely have seen Game 7 coming and the Bruins letting us down in the end. We did not see that, and I'm going to tell you why we should have. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. That was the song my wife and I came out to on our wedding day. It's the one thing she gave me.
She gave you Welcome to the Jungle.
Well, she gave me kids. But she on the wedding day, I'm saying that was the one thing I could kind of claim as my own. Entrance, Welcome to the Jungle, was absolutely awesome.
I'm going to spend $30,000 to make sure this day for you really is an amazing day. Can I just get Guns N' Roses? A little bit of Guns N' Roses?
So just give me that.
You choose the food, everything.
And the other thing I did was I put Livin' La Vida Loca on the must playlist.
My. Oh,
yeah, it's a great. Everybody dug it, believe me. Okay. So I was thinking about this after Game 7.
Yeah.
And I was mad. I probably thought about this before, but didn't want to either. Was overwhelmed by the Bruins and their talent and skill and just didn't want to bring it up. But I am going to tell you, we should all be ashamed of ourselves, Benjamin. All of us. Everybody from Boston, everybody that favored the Bruins, and especially...
I'm generally ashamed of myself coming from here, but yeah, go ahead.
Especially anybody that complained or bemoaned or bitched about the Blues and their physicality.
Yeah.
Or I heard somebody say that the NHL should want the Bruins to win because they don't want to promote that kind of play, that brand, that style. Get out of here. What a joke. What a disgrace. We should all be embarrassed.
Yes.
And we should have seen it coming, Ben.
Fans of the Big Bad Bruins? That's what we made our bones as forever and ever?
Just forget about the Big Bad Bruins.
You want to be the soft, squishy Bruins?
I'm not going to call them soft and squishy, but who was the more physical team?
The Blues.
That's correct.
Yeah,
there is no
close.
Debate. It's right. And over the... Now, take baseball out of it, because that's a different sport, and it doesn't really apply.
Yeah.
Over the course of the championship runs in Boston, for the Patriots, for the Bruins, and for the Celtics...
Okay.
Hasn't the physical team really ruled the day, especially from the Boston side of things? I'll give you some examples. Off the top of your head, you could think right away. Colts-Patriots. Who was the more physical team?
Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots.
I was going to go straight to Patriots-Rams, how this all started.
Patriot-Rams.
That's how they made their bones. That's how they started to become that dynasty, playing a more physical brand, beating down the greatest show
on turf. You correct me if I'm wrong.
I will.
But it feels like every time the Patriots or any of these other teams won a title, again, take baseball out of it, the Boston team was either the more physical team or at least could match wits physically with the other team, mm-hmm. and they ended up winning the game. The Rams, they were more physical. That was the theme of the whole run. Obviously, like you said, or like we said, those Colts games.
Colts, yep.
They changed the rules because of the Patriots. So there's those examples. Carolina, both physical teams.
Yeah, that's the one where I'm like, I'd actually have to go and rewatch that.
Yeah, it was an even match, but the Patriots ended up winning.
Philly,
like I said,
they were
either more physical or they could match wits.
You were so physical, you got the other quarterback to throw up on himself.
Yeah. Okay, and forget about other stuff.
I will never forget about that.
Forget about, though, I mean, that run didn't represent, I don't think the Patriots were so much more physical than one of those other teams, the Steelers, the Eagles, but again, they could match wits physically,
yeah.
and they end up winning the game. Now let's go to the Celtics, okay? Which team was more physical, the Celtics with KG and Tony Allen and Posey and Pierce, or the Lakers team with Radmanovic and Vujicic and Gasol? That was the series. The Celtics were the more physical, more rough-riding kind of team. And then what happened? 2 years later, the Lakers bring on Andrew Bynum, the Lakers sign Ron Artest, and the Lakers beat the Celtics. Now, I'm not saying that was the only reason, but when they were more physical, they won the series, the Celtics. They were the more physical team. They also had the skill in scoring. Pierce and Kobe could go tit for tat, but the Celtics were more physical. How about the Bruins when they won? Do you remember the Sedin sisters?
Oh, God, they were so much more physical.
That was the thing. That was the theme.
Even with Marchand biting you.
Well, he wasn't... What?
Didn't he...
No, it was Alex Burrows of the Vancouver Canucks biting you.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It was the reverse.
Marchand was... years later, Marchand...
so long ago.
He was licking you years
right.
later. But that was the whole... Like, the Sedin sisters. And remember whining and complaining.
Yes.
What was the goalie's name? Now I can't think of his name for Vancouver.
Pump the Tires.
Pump the Tires.
Pump the
Tires. Why can't I think of his name? Roberto Luongo.
Pump the Tires.
Yes.
Pump the Tires.
Complaining,
Luongo.
Whining, Sedin sisters. The Bruins were the more physical team. Milan Lucic and Chara in his prime and Sean Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
That was a more physical bunch. They won that cup. Now, here we are.
Is 13 the anomaly there, though?
Again, I think that goes under the category of...
just overwhelming talent.
Or just maybe they could match wits, but they, like the Patriots, matched wits and ended up winning those Super Bowls early on when they were about equal in physicality. The Bruins, maybe about equal in physicality in 2013, because they were more physical than the Penguins.
Absolutely.
And they crushed the Penguins. I think Chicago could match wits with them, and it was just Chicago that won that series.
Mm.
Whatever. Here, I mean, that was a major theme in this Stanley Cup final.
Absolutely.
That, how physical St. Louis was, and was it going to wear down the Bruins, and they were big, and they pitch you, and the penalties that weren't called, and complaining about the refs. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. I mean, that was the big thing about this series. We should have seen it. We should have seen this coming. The Bruins are skilled, and I think we all fell in love with that. We should have known that they were in trouble because the Blues obviously showed some mental toughness on top of the physical play. This was the recipe that we all ignored, and we should be ashamed of ourselves.
We are. We are ashamed of ourselves. And we're ashamed of the Bruins for allowing it to happen. It's just a fact. Listen, we were all very wrong. Very, very wrong about what was going to happen.
We were wrong a couple times. We thought we were finished in the Toronto series.
Well, I did. I certainly did.
And I did too.
Barely skated by that one and then, you know, breezed through the next two rounds without much of an issue.
Yeah.
Then you got to a more physical team, a much more physical team that isn't unskilled either.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. We should have seen what happened in Game 7. We should have seen it coming from a mile away because they were getting beaten down. The injuries were mounting for them. And I'm talking about injuries that were debilitating enough where you either couldn't play or you were half of what you normally would be. I'm not talking about the same old crap we hear after every Stanley Cup Finals. This guy had a groin injury. This guy had a rib injury. That's the same old. Everyone's playing through stuff at that point.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the players that are hurt bad enough that they can't even play or have to wear special gear just to suit up. We should have seen it coming. You're right. You're 100% right. We should have seen the more physical team grinding them down, wearing them out, and taking away their advantage. And we saw it for six games, and yet we were blind for Game 7. Although you and I didn't talk before Game 7, we talked before Game 6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should have seen it. We absolutely should have seen it, and that's on us. That goes back to what we talked about earlier. It's not a choke. It wasn't a choke job. Just because all of us were wrong doesn't mean it was a choke. We just didn't think the Blues were quite as good as they actually were. We didn't give the Blues enough credit. That's on us, not on the Bruins. They didn't choke. They lost to a good team. A good team who actually played smarter than them.
The production or lack thereof of the first line, I don't know if that goes down as a choke. It was awful. It was underwhelming. It was disappointing. It was disgusting. Well, I don't know if it's a choke.
If anyone's going to get the choke moniker, it's them.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If
anyone gets it, it's them.
I mean, go look at the 5-on-5 stats. David
terrible.
Pastrnak was a minus 7.
Terrible.
I mean, that's just unacceptable. You can't play the entire series on special teams.
No.
You can't do it.
No, especially when you know at the end of a Stanley Cup final, you know it's going to happen. They're not going to call nearly as many penalties.
You know what that's the equivalent of to me? Not perfect, but it's sort of like when a team wins a game or a football team wins a game because they execute a lot of trick plays.
Mm.
I mean, that's not the real game. The real game is played 5-on-5, and they were severely outplayed in those instances. Again, we should have seen it coming. The Blues just didn't have the talent that wowed you, the off-the-charts skill, playmakers, offensive guys, other than Tarasenko maybe. I mean, I mean, when I think of how confident I was so confident. I just didn't see them lose, especially getting blown out.
I thought they were winning in five.
I thought they were destined. I thought they were the Red Sox last year. Better from a skill perspective and destined. And they weren't.
Nope. We were wrong. We got bought and sold.
Okay. So other interesting developments this week.
Yes.
Outside of hockey. Kyrie Irving, according to Steve Bolpet of the Boston Herald, appears, speaking of destined, destined for the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Your immediate thoughts.
Good. Bye. See ya. I've been saying it for a long time. Bye-bye, Kyrie. It's nice knowing you. You're never going to be the guy. Ever. Not in that league, certainly. Just can't do it. And you're a royal pain in the ass. A complete pain in the ass. And someone who derailed what was going well for this organization. Almost single-handedly. You and Rozier, as players, share the most blame for what went wrong last season. And here's the other thing. You don't build around point guards like that. You don't do it. It doesn't work in the NBA.
I'm totally with you. I have no belief in a point guard being the face of the team or being the best player on the team. Maybe they can be the face. If they're the best player, it spells trouble, I think.
Listen, and I've done it too. You know, you can always reference Magic Johnson and the Lakers. That's a very different situation. That's LeBron, a slower LeBron, playing point guard. And you happen to also have the greatest scorer in NBA history in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Even though he's at the end, he's still really good. Oh, and you got another Hall of Famer in James Worthy. And then you got Hall of Famers coming off the bench. So you had a great team there. Then if you want to reference Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons, well, by the time they're winning, he is not the dominant, truly dominant player on that team. He's the best player, and he is the leader of that team. But you have a very well-rounded team with the right pieces built around. and you have an excellent player in Joe Dumars. That team was built on having the best defense maybe ever in the NBA. So we know that. Now we look back at the history of the NBA and we go,
yeah, Isaiah
has
Thomas
this ever
is the
happened?
One.
Has this ever really happened where the point guard is really truly the best and the catalyst? Some people might try and reference the Warriors. That's just not true. He's really good. Steph Curry is a very good player. He's a very one-dimensional player, though. And he's the best shooter that's ever played the game. Totally fine with that. But you also have one of the top five shooters playing alongside you in Klay Thompson. Then you have a great defensive player. And then what else do you have? A very well-rounded team. A deep bench with solid veterans. You built a well-rounded team there. But generally, point guards leading your team, it's either the big, and that's not today's NBA, or it's your wings. And it's always been that way. And it'll always be that way.
What I want to know is, I mean, things change big time after Game 5 and then Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
The offseason looks totally different.
Completely different.
Which is great. I think it is good. I think it benefits the Celtics mildly. And
sure.
I mean, I think it benefits any team that wasn't in line to line up and get a super team of superstars.
Yeah.
So the Knicks, it does not benefit, which is great. But the Celtics, I don't think these free agents, Kawhi, Durant, Klay, I don't think they were signing with the Celtics.
No.
So I think it benefits.
No. They weren't.
What after Durant got injured and Klay Thompson got injured, what do you think happens now? I want your predictions because I think I asked you last week your predictions, and now we have a whole new set of circumstances. So what are your predictions?
What do you mean what happens now?
So
like,
who goes
where?
Players move to? Where do they go?
I think Kawhi, it's down. It's one or two. It's been one or two for a long time, and I think you know maybe winning that title in Toronto changes things for him. But I still think he's L.A. bound with the Clippers.
Okay.
And if he's not, I think he's staying in Toronto. I don't think there's any other destination 100%
there. 100%
with you. Durant, well, it doesn't matter this year. I'm surprised more people aren't talking about him picking up his player option because he's not going to play next year. And if he does, it's going to be very late. I'm surprised people aren't talking about that. And I think Klay stays. I think Klay stays in Golden State.
So remind me, does Durant have an option to play for 1 year again and then be a free agent again? Can he do that?
Yes. I believe this is upcoming is his player option year, which everyone assumed he would opt out of. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I'm going to double check it right now.
Yeah, that's what he has to do. I can't imagine. Why would you want to do anything else unless he's committed to the Warriors?
Well, someone will. Someone will give him a deal regardless. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Someone will, but I don't know. I don't know why as a team you would do that. I guess I understand why he would do it. Obviously, the security of a guaranteed contract for five more years, but I think it's like a $38 million player option. $31.5 million player option. So other than that, I don't think things look markedly different.
So that's
the Knicks, you're getting nothing.
You're getting nothing,
and I'm so happy for it.
They're going to get nothing.
Because they are...
Their only hope is they trade for Anthony Davis, and they don't have the assets,
organizations in sports. Absolutely. They're one of the worst-run organizations. It's the Washington Redskins and the New York Knicks on an island by themselves trying to figure out who's going to suck worse.
But you know what, though? At least the Redskins have experienced some mild success. They've been in the playoffs. They've had some moments. The Knicks have had nothing. You know who will go into that?
The Redskins can at least say, hey, at least we've won a title in the last 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been...
91.
Right. But the Knicks haven't won since what?
73?
Yeah. I mean, that's a joke. This is the hub of the Mecca.
Yeah, that's
how
do
you be
dumbest...
the Mecca? That's the stupidest thing. If you haven't won anything in 45 years, I don't want to hear about the Mecca.
No. And the other thing, too, the whole Madison Square Garden, the greatest arena in the world, the place is a dump.
And by the way, go look at the talent that has come out of New York. Not that good. I mean, what players are out of New York City?
Kareem.
Okay,
I mean, you got Kareem.
You're talking about going way back, though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about recently. Kemba Walker.
It's been a litany of slightly above average point guards to really bad point guards with, like, Sebastian Telfair.
Yeah, I mean, Ron Artest, he was a good player, but...
He was all
right. It's not like half the superstars in the NBA come from New York City. That's not how it works. That's not where. So it's overrated. The whole thing's overrated. They got a lot of street courts, playground courts. Good.
Fantastic.
It's overrated. The Knicks are going to end up with nothing.
I'll still go. I'll probably always go with like Texas. That's where I'm going to get my athletes.
California.
Out of. Yeah.
Look, the Knicks are going to end up with nothing because unless they have assets to trade, New Orleans, and I don't think they do. I mean, they have that number three overall pick, but after that, they don't really have anything. The Lakers have a better package they can put together. The Celtics have, if they're really trying to get Davis. Well, we're going to talk about that. We got to go to break. When we get back, do you want the Celtics, as reported, to be aggressively pursuing Anthony Davis? I'm going to ask you that question. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. So, by all accounts and reports, the Celtics appear to be ready to aggressively pursue Anthony Davis. What do you think? You for that, Benny?
Nope. Haven't been for it.
Even after what the Raptors did with one guy.
Yeah, that's Kawhi Leonard. He's a very different guy than Anthony Davis. It's a very different team. It's a very different situation. It doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't make sense to me. He's not, in this NBA, he's not a game changer like that. He can't win you a series. He can't put you over the top unless you have multiple other superstars there. It just doesn't work.
One thing I don't understand is everybody's sort of saying, based on the injuries in Golden State and what's going to happen with those guys, they're not going to be in next year. If Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers, all of a sudden they're going to win the championship next year. I don't buy that. They were a mess this year.
I don't buy it either because they're destroying. They're ripping away all those other pieces that started to take the next step.
Yeah.
Kuzma taking the next step, becoming a pretty good player.
Well, I don't think Kuzma was in the last package I saw.
His name is always thrown in there.
Yeah.
Ingram, though?
Yeah.
Depending on what his health is, who knows? He might never play again. I don't know the situation.
I think he's supposed to be able to play again.
Yeah, well, they thought Bosch was going to play again, and he never really could play again, and gone from the league.
True.
So you don't really know. But he really started to take that next step and look like that number two overall draft pick from a couple of years back. Lonzo Ball is a pretty good basketball player. I'd like him on the Celtics. I think he'd be a great fit on this Celtics team. But you're taking all those assets away, and you're competing in a much more difficult Western Conference than what has historically been the Eastern Conference. Because I think we're looking at LeBron as still LeBron from at age 30, where he can really truly drag a mediocre Cleveland team beyond where they should be.
He didn't do it this year.
We'll see how things shake out. Obviously, if Klay can't go at all next year, if Durant can't go at all next year, everything looks very different. Everything looks very different. The Western Conference is not quite as strong as it was before. The Eastern Conference is a little bit better. But let's say Kawhi ends up in the West on a Clippers team that isn't that bad. Why are you saying the Lakers over the Clippers?
Well, my first thought would be, who else do the Clippers have? But I would have said the exact same thing about the Raptors this year. They had Kyle Lowry. Nice player, whatever. I don't think he's a guy, that even a number two. But all of a sudden, Siakam comes on, and then they acquire a couple big guys.
Gasol's doing well.
Veterans that have some playoff experience, and all of a sudden they've got this.
Ibaka's seen everything.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm not putting anything past anybody that has Kawhi Leonard. If he goes to the Clippers, Doc Rivers, good front office, stable organization, I think they could get some guys, and you'd have to factor them in as one of the contenders.
And then you got to look at the Bucks.
Yeah.
If Kawhi does leave, their roadblock is out of the way now. Because Toronto's not going to be good next year. Not without Kawhi. I mean, no. They'll make the playoffs, but they won't be a good team.
No.
They won't be a threat. And can 24-year-old Giannis take that next step? I mean, the Eastern Conference, when you look at it right now, before everything's shaken out, and before even projecting certain moves, should be theirs next year. Should be theirs. They should have won the Eastern Conference Finals, but then they choked it away.
They remind me, they were up 2-0 on Toronto.
They choked that series.
They were up
away.
2-0 on Toronto. That's right.
So you got to look at the Bucks as being the team out of the East right now.
Yeah. I think they're one guy away. If they could get Kemba Walker on that team, somebody like that, shooter.
Any team's dynamic, better without Eric Bledsoe. So
dynamic offensive play. Yeah, it's...
But back to the Celtics.
Okay.
And Anthony Davis. What's the point? What's the point? You take away... Let's just say you only give up one of them, and it's Tatum. Because if you're only giving up one, it's got to be Tatum, right?
I don't see the point in that.
I don't either. 1 year of a guy who's a quitter and often injured. And in today's NBA, isn't the game changer that he was in, would have been in the NBA 20 years ago.
Go ahead.
For what?
Yeah. I do not see Danny Ainge doing a move. I don't see Danny Ainge making a move that would include Jason Tatum. I don't see it. Unless for some reason he is so far down on Tatum and knows things that we don't know. I just don't see it. Danny Ainge is not somebody that gets fleeced. Danny Ainge fleeces people. I'm going to say something else about Danny Ainge. He's pissed, okay? Because now the toast of the town is Masai Ujiri in Toronto. He's the best GM around. He's the one that's getting offered $60 million, $100 million by the Wizards, whatever it is. He's the one that built a champion. By the way, he built it in a way that the Celtics could have built.
And he's the one, Danny, who can get away with assaulting a police officer. I don't think you can, Danny. Okay.
That's a separate issue. But Danny Ainge could have done what Masai Ujiri did. He could have gone out and traded for Kawhi Leonard. He could have acquired the veterans and the guys around the superstar that ultimately helped catapult them to the championship and give Ujiri credit. Ujiri. He's the one that found guys like Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
Undrafted guys like VanVleet. So this guy's the toast of the town. Danny Ainge likes to take the big risks. Nobody likes taking big risks and hitting on big risks more than Danny Ainge.
And he's not afraid to miss. You heard him say it the other day, referring to the Kyrie trade. Yeah, I'd do it again. Even if he leaves, I would do that trade again.
I would too.
You absolutely do. Anyone who says otherwise, you're an idiot. You're just dumb.
Yeah.
I can't help you. If you wouldn't have traded a broken Isaiah Thomas and a couple of used parts for a true superstar player, you're dumb.
I just don't
see... Even for 2 years.
There is no way that Danny Ainge isn't sitting here watching the Raptors win the NBA title and squirming as he sees Masai Ujiri get all of this publicity and everybody just sort of bows at his feet and he's getting offered these contracts by the Wizards in excess of $60 million and he's the genius who put this team together and they beat the Warriors. I mean, this was supposed to be Danny. Nobody likes taking the risks and hitting more than Danny Ainge. Mm-hmm. And this guy's the one that did it. This is the guy who built the team that you could have built. It's not like the Celtics. It's not like the Raptors have L.A. And that's something that the Celtics in Boston will never have, the geographic location or geographic advantage. It's Toronto. And he built a champion in Toronto. I understand Kevin Durant got hurt. But he still built the champion. That was supposed to be Danny Ainge. He was the toast. Now it's Ujiri, and that pisses off Ainge. So I expect him to respond with ultra-aggressiveness. Is that what I'm looking for? Not necessarily. But then I fall back on his poise, his smarts. I don't think he just trades away Jason Tatum emotionally. He's the one that fleeces teams. So I'm going to trust Danny Ainge that he is going to, if he does trade for Anthony Davis, have a package together that is advantageous for the Celtics in every way, shape, or form. I don't think he's going to get fleeced by New Orleans.
Wonder if there's a possibility of being a three-team trade.
It has to be. I think that's the only way that the Celtics
do it. What I'm saying is, what I'm referencing, if this is a three-team trade that involves the Celtics and the Lakers, both of them.
Who gets Davis?
Lakers.
So who do we get?
I don't know.
Who do you want?
I want Lonzo, man.
Lonzo?
I want Lonzo.
Why?
Because I want a point guard on this team.
He's not even healthy.
You
can't stay healthy.
None of these guys are healthy.
Okay.
I don't know.
So who do you trade to get Lonzo?
No, am I saying I'd rather have Lonzo
than
Anthony Davis? No. I don't know. I'm just working this out in my head.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to figure out as to why are the Celtics just in it to keep pushing up the price for the Lakers?
I like Lonzo, too.
Because that doesn't make sense to me that you're going crazy. I don't get it. He's not enough of a game changer based on the roster you have. It made a lot more sense when Kyrie was here based off what you have. And then what you're going to give up on top of that. Because then you're going to be just left with Anthony Davis, Jaylen Brown. What's that?
You know, I'm thinking that if they do that, they totally abandon the whole youth movement and they go with Davis and they try to build around him like Toronto did.
But how are they going to build? I mean,
they're going to acquire veterans, key veterans, established veterans, guys with experience in the playoffs.
So
it's
a broken Anthony Davis and a broken Gordon Hayward?
Why are you saying broken?
With reference to who? Davis or Hayward?
What do you mean a broken Anthony Davis? What does that mean?
He's often injured.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, I don't know.
It's nothing. It's not a championship team. That my thing is hold the fort. Hold the fort. Try to become the next grouping that can become the Warriors from a couple of years ago where you're consistently putting yourself in that situation. You have a young core. Try build through there. Don't bring in mercenaries like this who you know definitively do not want to be here.
All right, we got to go to break. Hour two coming up. When we get back, we're going to talk to Mike in North Providence. He wants to talk about the Celtics. More on this, more on the Bruins. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.